Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How's it going, everybody? And welcome to episode 101 of The Operating Room. I'm your host, Kev Masterejohn, aka at RotoSurgeon from Twitter. And with me today to talk pivots, holding our ground, and everything we're looking at rest of the season, Russell Clay at Russell J. Clay on Twitter. He is a fantasy football guru over at Fantasy Guru site. He is very popular on Twitter. I follow him. I've been following him. And, you know, it's something I look up to. Russell knows his shit. Russ, how you doing, my man?
Awesome. Thanks for the great intro, Kev. And yeah, this is a fun time of year, and appreciate the kind words. Shout out to Fantasy Guru. They pay me money sometimes. And yeah, really happy to be on today. And I mean, I've known you for quite a few years, and you know how comics have their favorite comics. Yeah. I feel like you're one of the guys that like fantasy, you're a fantasy analyst, fantasy analyst. Me and Nate would always like, whether you're calling someone out or you have a cool stat, you've ended up in our group chats quite a few times over the last year. So shout out to you.
I'm honored. I'm flattered, if anything. That's very like you guys are prestige in the fantasy football community. You guys have grown a ton over the last few years. Like, you obviously, I've seen your tweets for years now, even before I was doing fantasy football. I mean, I would just see you popping up on my timeline randomly, and now you have the check marks. They're a lot more legit now. But Nate too, Sound of Truth with him. Like, I used to listen to him and Matt Kelly a lot. And I don't know, it's really cool to just get a platform to have like a, just not face to face necessarily, because we're literally on a podcast and we don't have our video on. But other than that, it's really cool to get this opportunity. I do appreciate you making the time. But before we get into the nitty gritty, win big in 2022 with rotoballer.com's NFL Premium Pass. Are you ready to dominate? Rotoballer's premium draft kit includes 15 exclusive tools, including the new Team Sync platform. Import your fantasy teams, sync your league settings, get custom advice, get customized rankings, projections, and cheat sheets for all formats. For a limited time, get your NFL Premium Pass for 50% off and use my promo code Kev for another 10% discount. Just visit rotoballer.com, start rotoballing like a boss. So you're here, we're ready to go. We have multiple takes that we made throughout the preseason that have obviously some aged poorly, some are kind of, you know, in limbo. Where do you feel like you stand in general from preseason to the start of this season? Are you comfortable with how you projected things? Do you feel like you hit? Do you feel like you're missing? Do you feel like it's, things are still working out and you're in the loop of things?
Yeah, so I shifted up quite a bit my fantasy football playing this year. So I'm doing a lot more best ball. Russ has a lot less lineups to set this year. Oh, yeah. There are a lot less start sits in my life. I saved that for the subscribers. And I am incredibly happy this time of year, because then I get to actually focus on, you know, whether it's Fantasy Guru subscribers or my own stuff, sports betting, best ball. And so, you know, through a couple weeks, it's a good mix. And, you know, there are hits and misses for me on the same team. So I look at, you know, the Jaguars, Christian Kirk's looking great. Travis Etienne battling with my not boy, James Robinson over there. And we'll get into that later. But yeah, no, it's a mix. I look at a guy like Garrett Wilson. That's a pretty big hit for me right now, in Dynasty and season long. And then, you know, there's some other guys. So we're still really early. Probably shouldn't even be checking your best ball leagues right now. If you are, I am, but you shouldn't. You know, we're kind of firing away that way, but yeah, overall, I think I'm having a pretty good year to start.
Yeah, I'm absolutely checking my best ball teams like incessantly, like, because yeah, I mean, it just, it freaks me out, because I'm like, okay, did I get the spike weeks or not? Did I get any correlations? Are we on the right path? Like, it's funny because my best team, this is actually one of my more middling to lower teams. I got the Tua Tyreek spike this past week. And it's honestly the team I hate. This is the one team I drafted. Like, it was like zero RB. It's like my first running back was Josh Jacobs. The second was Rashad Penny. And we'll get into Rashad Penny later on. But I'm looking at this team like, damn, I can't compete. And this was 2 weeks ago. Now I'm getting weeks like that. And I'm taking near zeros at running back. It's just like, what a shame that a team I hate is doing so well so early on, because I'm like, I expect failure at this point. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I got 55 points out of my quarterback. I got 40 out of my wide receiver one, and every, like, my other spots, wide receiver and defense kicker, whatever, did pretty well in NFFC. But I'm like, I really still hate this team because I didn't draft any running backs that I like that much, or at least to start with, get like a early running back to pair with. It just, it's a mess. I feel like, you, do you have any teams like that where you legitimately hated, but they're doing kind of well?
Okay, so one of the guys, one of the sweats I have right now is, you know, in Dynasty, I don't really hedge that much. I kind of just go with my evaluations and fire off from there. Dynasty is my, you know, main course here. But in best ball, you know, you're just kind of going through the appetizer table, picking one here, deviled egg here, you know, piece of shrimp there. And but I will say I kind of faded Josh Allen early this year, and I did get a little Stephon Diggs here and there. I did get a little Gabe Davis, but man, through 2 weeks, I'm looking back and saying, this could be a seismic year for Josh Allen, and I do not have much of him right now. So that's one thing I'm sweating. I'm like, all right, buddy, let's slow it down here a little bit for the regular season. Save some for the playoffs, and don't crush me with like 50 touchdowns and 600 rushing yards. So that's my one fade that I'm really sweating right now, because I only have like a 1 or 2% Josh Allen.
Yeah, no, I wish I had more Tua after last week. I wish I had more Hill. And like, I did draft a little bit of each. I drafted a little bit of Diggs. But I had a pretty staunch take. I was like, Stephon Diggs can absolutely finish as wide receiver one this year. But I still felt like, you know, his price, he was priced appropriately. I didn't think I was getting a discount mid first to late first, essentially. It was just like, I feel good about him. I'm like, he has Josh Allen, but man, I'm really paying for it where I like to take running backs and whatnot. And might bite me in the ass, and feels like, you know, with the Josh Allen fade, which you can't really blame yourself for fading QB1. It's not like he was what, like Jalen Hurts last year going in round 8, round 9, or Lamar or Patrick Mahomes a couple years ago. Like, he's priced up to where he is supposed to play. So it's tough this early kicking yourself for guys we knew would perform, right?
Sure. And at the same, like, I agree. But at the same time, when you see him putting up 25 to 35 points a week, you're still like, shit.
Yeah. You absolutely kick yourself, and you feel like, you know what, like, let's move on to next week. Let's hope this evens out, because please. I can live with a great season. I can't live with a historic season. That's where I draw. Like, I'm like, oh, if I fade a first rounder who performs like a first rounder, I'm not going to lose sleep. But if you fade a first rounder who performs like Cooper Kupp last year.
Right.
Absolutely. You can't do that. And, you know, going back to what this episode is about, we're basically holding our ground or pivoting. So let's go with three takes that we're pivoting off after 2 weeks, or two and a little bit, because Pittsburgh Cleveland's going on right now. I don't know how you really feel about that one, but mostly your first take that you're feeling like you got to pivot after 2 weeks.
Yeah, so my general belief on an NFL season, and because I play a lot more Dynasty than other things, I tend to have a longer timeline with a longer runway for these guys to hit and take off. And so I usually give it a month, but there are a few. And when you kind of showed me the show sheet, I'm like, all right, there are a few guys that I'm ready to abandon ship on or climb on the ship here. So Cole Kmet, a guy that I thought played pretty well last year, 600 receiving yards and 93 targets, just didn't get those touchdowns. And I'm a big believer in that touchdown luck shifts perception. So I'm like, I believe that if Cole Kmet had a couple touchdowns, 2, 3, 4 touchdowns last year, people would be looking at him in a brighter light. But after these first 2 weeks, it's fairly clear that the Bears are scheming Our very, very, very run heavy approach, trying to kill the clock and get out of there with some low scoring games. And it is gnarly. I mean, Kmet has some offensive linemen box scores right now with just the snap percentages and no stats. So when you're seeing that from your tight end, that is not good news. He was a guy I was loving at value this offseason, and he is someone that I am Homer Simpsoning back into the bushes because, you know, we're just going to claim the W on Pat Freiermuth and ignore the Kmet shares right now.
100%. Yeah, no, I think he has, what, two targets through two games?
That's, two targets, yep.
Yeah,
on 83 and 85% of the snaps, so that's incredible. Pretty gnarly.
This is an incredible, the team is incredible, honestly. You look at the target leader, it's Equanimeous St. Brown with seven targets. Darnell Mooney has five. I'm not gonna put a stick in Cole Kmet yet. I do think teams can drop him, absolutely. Like, if you have Kmet, drop him. Get him off your team. Because, like, by the time it might come, like, Ryan Griffin has more targets than him right now, but, like, by the time it comes, you're not going to know when to start him, and it's going to be annoying, and you're not going to want to deal with it. So anybody in those types of league, best ball, you're kind of stuck with him, obviously, because you can't really set your lineups or do anything. But I still have some semblance of hope. I think the belief was that he's the wide receiver two, quote unquote, on the Bears, because after Darnell Mooney, there's not much. And that's not turning out to be true because they're moving the ball around so much. So yeah, you just got to kind of eat the L and assume that it's not going to return value, but he could be fine.
So I love the way you're phrasing this, because so it's like, if I'm giving advice to somebody else, I'm telling them to drop Cole Kmet right now. However, I am in my lair staring out the window saying, all right, he just needs a couple games to get going. So yeah. Dynasty wise, I'm still holding out hope, but yeah.
Yeah, you have to. He's 23 and he had 93 targets last year. He had an 11 target game, a couple like 9-8. It just, you know, that's not nothing, especially at his age. And two games, one with like pouring rain, one in like, who did they play this last week? The Bears. They got like, Green Bay. Like
Green Bay, yeah.
I don't think going into Lambeau tells us much with Fields passing 26 times total through two games. It feels weird. Houston, this feels like this week is the bounce back week for that offense. I don't know, the get right at home versus a weak defense like Houston, even though they're respectable, they're not like good. Darnell Mooney, let's talk about him real quick, because I know that's not on our sheet, but would you be starting Darnell Mooney this week?
So it's very similar for me, where I wasn't high on Mooney going into last year, and now I kind of respect the game he's got there. With that said, I don't feel Houston's been annoyingly decent so far this year for, you know, you think Houston, oh, teams are going to blow them out, and they haven't really been able to do that. So I am a little worried that this is just a slog game. I don't know if it's a get right spot. So I'm out on Mooney right now. If the Bears passing game turns around and we see a little more life, this is one of those where I need to see some signs first before I jump back in, for 2022 fantasy.
Very fair. Yeah, no, I don't have any Mooney, so I'm very lucky on that end, but it's definitely something that has made me feel like, you know, this can't be this bad for this long. At a certain point, I don't even know if you call it regression, because it's just nonsense the way they're playing right now and distributing the ball. Like, who is it? Khalil Herbert. I mean, as many targets as Kmet. It's, I don't know. Like, you would think they would be better than this. Yeah, absolutely. And David Montgomery actually looked good this last week. It was a weird, very weird week for all fronts, but neither here nor there. The Bears are a mess. I actually, you know, again, with the Mooney stance, Fields, I think, you know, you might have to drop him in season long, but he might be startable this week, which is, again, it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but it's a week-to-week game, and sometimes matchups win. But moving on, my stance that I'm pivoting off of, Rondale Moore. I was very staunchly buying Rondale Moore in the preseason, and he suffered another injury right before the season started. He was set to be the slot guy. He was set to be the number two option in this offense, you know, 2A, 2B with Zach Ertz. And you're watching Greg Dortch do what he does, and you're like, this should have been Rondell's role. And Rondell's still, he's practicing on the side. He's not really involved in practice. He's still a DNP. And the hamstring, you know, soft tissue is obviously an issue. He's had issues throughout college. He played like, what, four games throughout his last two seasons in college. I'm kind of jumping off this breakout because maybe it's his size, maybe it's his body, or like, you know, how compact he is. Something's preventing him from getting on the field. And even if he has spike games, he might be the new like Paris Campbell of sorts, where the talent's there. It just never, you know, never sees itself on the field. So by the time he's back, Nuke's going to be back. Hollywood's going to be there. Ertz is still going to be around. It's just there's not going to be enough of the pie for him to go around. So I might be giving up on Rondell this year, which is really unfortunate given how high I was and how well Greg Dortch is performing. Where do you stand on Rondell?
Yeah, a guy I going into rookie drafts last year, I just found myself not being the highest on him in any particular draft, but he was a guy I always like going back to his, you know, true freshman year at Purdue, really, really explosive and productive, a clear slot receiver in the NFL. That was super clear. I do have to laugh because that's the most generous 5'7" height listing I've ever seen. That guy's 5'5". Let's be honest. Let's just be honest, everyone. This is an MJD situation here. Rondell is just a very, very small, compact man. Like you said, you know, I don't know what it is with him, but he's been injured quite a bit, you know, going back to Purdue, as you you know, threw that context in there. It really sucks because this is a perfect, like, Greg Dortch is basically a much worse version of Rondell Moore. Mm-hmm. But as you said, when they bring DeAndre Hopkins back, when things kind of get moving here, I still think there's going to be a role for him. But like you said, he's dealing with this soft tissue injury that he injured right before, like a day or two before week one. And so with hamstrings, I almost would rather him sit out a few more weeks. Because if he comes back and, you know, re-aggravates that, we could just be looking at another lost year. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of the context of why a player busts. And so if he loses another year, right, the Cardinals organization's probably going to start looking for a replacement because they care about results. And, you know, sitting in the GM office, they don't love the context as much either when a player's, you know, banged up. He was banged up all last year. And if he misses all this year, it's kind of like, well, we spent a second round pick on this guy and he's just not on the field. We're done with him. And that's how, you know, players get, you know, phased out of offenses, whether it's talent or not. Teams start to give up on these guys if we see a couple years of injury issues. So yeah, he's in a pretty risky spot. I'll tell you, another guy like that is Zach Wilson right now, who, I put out some tweets the other day and a bunch of Jets fans were like, Joe Flacco's not taking his job, blah, blah, blah. I know that. Clearly, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is there's more pressure on him now because he's missed a couple games. The backup quarterback's playing fine. And then if Zach Wilson comes in and he's like mediocre to like bad because of the injury and because of he's coming in midseason, I mean, it's just a dicey time. Like, these guys are humans too. And I just feel like that's got to add a little extra stress to like walk in there and be like, oh yeah, Joe Flacco's finding Garrett Wilson all over the field. Now you got to go do it. So I don't know.
I look at Zach Wilson exactly the same. It just, I mean, they already did this with Sam Darnold. Basically, they're like, okay, we're going to give him all the excuses. He's hurt. He's this, he's that. And Zach Wilson's only been a rookie. He obviously hasn't been on the field yet, and he won't be on the field until week four. But looking at him, I never saw the talent. I mean, I saw the arm talent. He's obviously he has a strong arm and he's somewhat mobile. He can skedaddle out of a pocket, but you know, he's weirdly like, he's not built. Like, he's like the opposite of Rondell Moore, where it's like he's frail and it's just right. It just looks like every time he takes a hit you're like, you cringe a little bit. And he's 6'2 215, but he doesn't look it, so it's like he might be 6'2 200 and that's soaking wet. So that's an issue. He doesn't really have a frame for a quarterback, whereas like Baker was short, but Baker had the frame,
stout man.
And Baker's not good, but Baker is stout, like you said. It's just he's built like that, and he could take hits. I don't think Zach Wilson could take hits. And playing for the Jets, you're going to take hits. That's just part of the gig. They don't have a good offensive line. They don't. I mean, he's going to, again, run around, get hit occasionally. This isn't BYU. He can't, you know, he can't be saved by being faster than everyone else because he plays for a group of five school or whatever BYU is. I'm not really sure on that. But nevertheless, it's definitely worrisome for Zach Wilson. Do you think there's any chance, say the Bengals, I mean, who did the Jets play this weekend? The Jets play the Bengals, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yes, they do.
Yeah. Okay, say Flacco somehow miraculously beats the Bengals. It's 2-1. The Jets are 2-1.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure. Yeah.
Zach Wilson comes in. He goes 3 straight losses. He's healthy. What do they do?
No idea, man. Because that locker room, we've heard this. Like, this isn't just hearsay. Like, they were talking about this with Trey Lance and Jimmy G before the season. This is real. Like, these guys want to win. These guys are playing for contracts. They don't want balls sailing over their heads. So once they see a backup's doing decent, yeah. So I don't know, but that's my current stance on it. And I said that as soon as he got injured, I was like, oh man, this is going to be tough. Cause Zach Wilson's probably going to come back. I know they're saying they don't want him to come back before he's 100%, but that almost always happens. These guys almost always come back before they're 100%.
And they're making it sound like he's going to come back next week. Like, next week it's happening. Zach Wilson's back, blah, blah, blah. And even though, like, some injury group, like Edwin Porras and a couple others did say that, you know, he could do well with like another 2 weeks or so, but you know, the Jets want to see their quote unquote franchise guy. But I mean, how's this comp for you? Matt Leinart and Kurt Warner, year two, Matt Leinart, 2007, Warner's 36. Warner, I mean, probably had a better run when he was good than Flacco, but at the same time, it's Flacco looked decent. I mean, he won that game. He helped them win that game. Obviously, the weapons, Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson, Corey Davis did a lot of the heavy lifting, but Flacco's the guy that could get the ball in their hands. If Zach Wilson can't get the ball in the weapons, which you would assume, like, you have a set of weapons like that, it's too good to fail. But if Zach Wilson fails, I think a month of bad might be enough. I mean, what would you set
what a
timeline?
Those four. I'm rooting for Wilson, man.
You're
don't want
rooting
the
for
Jets
him,
fans.
But give me a timeline. Like, how long, how much bad can the Jets take? Because they've taken decades of bad now, or like a decade since the Sanchez era, and even that was not great. But what's the span of games here? Give me like an over under.
I think a month straight of like really poor, like maybe they win, but it's at his expense and they drop another couple games because he couldn't get the ball rolling. I think they will at least think about it. Now, that's basically organizational suicide for the GM if they do that. If they're in the playoff hunt, you know, I could definitely see that heating up, but.
I mean, this is the new regime. This is the one that drafted him, traded Sam Darnold. Not that Sam Darnold's good. It's like they made that decision correct. And, you know, I'm very wrong on Darnold historically, if you go back on anything I've ever said about him. But yeah, Wilson, he has to do it now. It's like, this is, there's no buffer. The team looks competent. The weapons are good, legitimately. And the offensive line is fine enough. It's not good, but it's fine that he has to perform. There's no excuse. And if he's not healthy, that's even, I think that's a bigger ding on him, no?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There we go.
Yep.
Okay. That next stance that you're pivoting off.
Tyreek Hill fade. I faded Tyreek Hill this year. I was kind of fading the Mahomes, the Mahomes boost. I was kind of thinking Hill was going to end with like 900 to 1,000 yards and kind of just float around there. Cause that's historically what happens with these guys after they leave these elite situations. They kind of just float around. But the Mike McDaniel offense here looks like it's going to get him a boatload of targets this year, probably more than he saw ever in Kansas City. I mean, he's got 25 through two games. Clearly, the 190 yards and two touchdowns for Baltimore is a signal that, you know, the fade's going wrong. But it was actually week one for me that kind of made me say, okay, this is a true featured role. They're not just going to use him as a deep threat. They're going to use him all over the field, which they did all over the formation, rushing attempts, slot, snaps, deep targets, intermediate targets, 12 targets the first week, 13 the second. You know, they know they need to have Waddle and Tyreek Hill a big part of the game plan every week. I think he could see 10 plus targets a game. And for those that drafted him, I mean, he was just going high. And I know we talked about Josh Allen with this, but I do wish I had more Tyreek, but I'm certainly going to be throwing him in DFS lineups from now on. And that's the good news about a regular season. We have ways to make our money back here, even if we did fade in the offseason.
Yeah, where there's a will, there's a way. You can definitely profit off of a loss, even, or technically, you know, a different way. But I was luckily in on Hill. I loved him falling into the late second, early third, because just, you know, sometimes you just got to buy the talent. And with Tua, my thought process was, even if he can't hit those same deep shots, you look at this team and you're like, they're going to want to play underneath a lot. And what Tyreek Hill can do is play that Deebo role. So just get the ball in to Tyreek's hands and he can just do whatever he wants after the catch, because that's what he's, you know, as good as a deep threat. And Tua, notoriously, we know he's extremely accurate, especially to that short to intermediate field. He's not a great deep ball thrower, but he could lob it up there time and time again. And we saw that against the Baltimore Ravens this past week. That was very much so, you know, the fire fest. And I don't expect that, or not a fire fest, but a fire show.
Things were on fire.
Fireworks.
Yes.
There was
yes.
fireworks. That's the yes. best way to put it. How about that? There were fireworks. I don't expect fireworks every week, but I do expect Tyreek Hill to get his fair share of targets, like you mentioned. And, you know, PPR, where those receptions count as a point, baby. Even if he's not scoring touchdowns, he's going to create the yardage and he's going to eat every week, as is Jalen Waddle, as it appears. Like, it's beautiful with the way they're consolidating the offense to those two and then sprinkling it to the rest is chef's kiss. Like, give Mike McDaniel all the awards right now, no?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Totally. Yeah, that was the real thing for me, kind of watching how this offense functioned. They are optimizing Tua, which, you know, you love to see. That's kind of what we want with these head coaches. So great to see it.
Absolutely. Now, a stance I'm pivoting off of that, you know, it's in action right now. Amari Cooper, I thought he would be an absolute bust. And I was like, the first 11 games cannot make up for, or the last six games per se cannot make up for the first 11, or technically it would be five, actually, the five games, because one of them's week 18. So I didn't think with Brissett he could perform, because I didn't believe he was a true wide receiver one. I thought he was more of a wide receiver 1A, and he performed well with CD. He's performed in the past really well with other wide receivers or options like a tight end to take off the pressure. But through three games, it's like, you know, slash week one out of there. I mean, he's getting the targets. He has touchdowns in back-to-back games. He gets the Falcons next week. Chargers probably going to be a game that they're going to need to throw a lot. Brissett, like, I mean, to his credit, he's finding Amari Cooper. And Amari's doing his job after the catch. Just, he's finding him in the end zone. He's doing everything he needs to do. So if Amari could be a high-end wide receiver three come the end of the season when Deshaun returns, I mean, he could finish as a top, not finish as a top 10 wide receiver, but a top 10 wide receiver finish in those weeks, along with what he does in the first 11 weeks. I mean, that's a big miss on my end. And I look, you know, egg on my face after this start. But again, it is early, but it just looks like it's very much so in Amari's favor. Where did you stand on Amari, and where are you now?
I was buying him early off season purely because it was like, all right, Watson's there. I'm going to have the end of season Watson. And that's the whole reason I was buying. And then, you know, that suspension gets officially laid down. And I mean, the ship cleared on Amari towards the end of the offseason. It was not just you. It was like he was dropping into the 80s, 90s, 100s in ADP in best ball. And I wouldn't say I was like buying into it, but I wasn't avoiding either. And there were a lot of times where he was like, all right, my wide receiver war for wide receiver five, I guess I could take the hit in these early weeks and he's my wide receiver four or five. Maybe I get a few weeks throughout this 11 game suspension and then I'm firing off those final five games. But yeah, no, I didn't expect anything like last week or what he's doing this week. By the time, this comes out, who knows what he'll have, but he's putting a pretty good effort in there tonight. So yeah, no, I'm happy with the spots I have him, but I was certainly expecting some lean times in these first 11 weeks.
I'm looking at it right now. It's staring me right in the face. 7 catches, 101 yards and a touchdown today.
Wow.
The fourth quarter just started. Last week, 9 catches, 101 yards and a touchdown. I'm like, man, like I was passing on this guy. I was taking not bums, but I was taking upside picks when, you know, a guy with fringe wide receiver one finishes and, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, although he's a piece of shit for the playoff run, is just staring me in the face. And man, you know, what could have been, but alas, I don't have him. I have him in like one dynasty league, but it's not like I picked him this year. So it's just kind of, I was stuck with him. It's a shame, but this is, you know, we learn from these mistakes. We move on and we, you know, put it in your back pocket. Maybe a player this talented, even with not a dog shit. I don't want to go that far. Brissett's fine. He's there. He's like better Geno Smith, I think, is the best way to put it. And then getting that with Deshaun later, I mean, at his cost, I should have been diving in. I was a coward. It's not like he was hurt. He was 100% healthy. And he might have even had, like, he might have, you know, not a vengeance, but, you know, a little chip on his shoulder after getting traded for a 6th-round pick or 5th-rounder. Well, whatever that was for Dallas. I mean, how bad does Dallas feel right now looking at their team and thinking, whoa, damn, yeah. I mean, he was under contract. They didn't have to, like, pay. It's not like he was due this next offseason.
Yeah, and, you know, I will say Noah Brown looks all right, but the rest of that crew there is gross. So, you know, who knows what was going on in the locker room there, but all the things we can account for, that was a pretty ugly trade for them.
Yep. Yeah. It's looking bad. And, you know, I mean, the Dak injury compounding it with not having Gallup and all of that, it's just more bad on top of it, but that it is what it is. What is your last stance that you are pivoting off of?
What it is.
Yep.
What's that?
Oh, sorry. What's that last stance that you're pivoting off of?
Zeke Elliott. Okay. I was buying Zeke in the 4th round. I was all in, and I'm all out at this point. I mean, I was buying a Dak-led offense with surviving the early weeks and then getting through to the other side, and now we're without Dak this first month, no Gallup yet, and Dalton Schultz out. Tyron Smith he's out for the year, a few days before the season, and it's pretty gross overall there. So that's what I'm looking at. And you know, he did get 16 touches last week, which I do like to see. Some tough matchups against those front sevens to begin the year. Maybe the Giants and Washington will be a little kinder the next couple weeks, but he doesn't really have that role right now in the receiving game to get me excited about this upside. I thought 4th round Zeke, they're still going to give him 250, 275 touches. And now that I'm kind of thinking the touches aren't going to be there, I am getting a little concerned here.
on the Zeke front, I was not so much so agnostic, but I wasn't buying him or Tony Pollard. I just wasn't interested in that backfield. The offensive line got significantly worse, so I just couldn't get myself to buy in. I was fine with Lamb at cost, but the offense just seemed gross and ready to fall apart, especially, you know, as we discussed Amari leaving and Gallup being hurt. And even if Gallup returns, I don't know how effective he's going to be post ACL. Late season ACL could be just fine. Noah Brown, he's performing, but I don't expect that to keep up at all given his history. Zeke, interestingly enough, some stats that stand out. His yards per game, rushing yards per game, have gone down consecutively each season. I'm not going to, you know, if you guys want to go on Pro Football Reference or whatever, look it up. It's just crazy. It's just like from 2016 to this year, 2022, his yards per carry have incrementally gone down. And it, not that that's something that you can really measure. It's just kind of usage based, but definitely scary if you're trying to draft him next year. If you're trying to buy the dip again, the third time straight or fourth time. Targets, he has negative 7 yards on 4 targets. The negative 7 yards is fluky. I don't think that's going to keep up. A 4 targets through 2 games is absolutely atrocious. And Pollard's definitely looking fresh. He's looking solid. I don't love Pollard either in terms of like his usage. He had like 13 touches last game, 8 touches the first game, and maybe second half of the season he adds more of a compliment to Zeke. But I mean, I don't really want either of these guys, honestly. But if I wanted one more, it's Pollard, no?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think you can say that. I do think there's a little hope for when Dak gets back of some touchdown upside, but it looks like if we're being a year too early or a year too late on Zeke, I'm a year too late. So, yeah, backing off that one for now.
Yeah, Zeke's definitely, I mean, it's not even like, you know, people make fun of him for, you know, he's fat, this or that. And it's, you know, it's not even that. It's just the team's bad. And he's, you know, well, he's older. He had like the PCL tear last year. He's definitely been just, you know, declining. And that's natural with a running back his age. He's like, what, 27? Yeah, he just turned 27. This is the age apex for running backs. And he's a running back who's had like 300 plus touches in like, what, like almost every season to start his career up until... Yeah, last year at 2284. So just he had the usage and he's breaking down. It's very natural. I don't really think, I mean, he's on his Le'Veon Bell curve at this point, which it's not a pun by any means, but that's where he is, minus the holdout.
Nice.
It's unfortunate. And this is just what happens with these guys. And I don't really think Pollard's the future either. I think he's part of the future, but they might just draft another running back this offseason and move on from Zeke. And, I don't know what the future holds for Dallas. They're a weird team. And yeah, I mean, hopefully you could buy low on Lamb next year. That's probably what I'd be looking to do most. Like, are you still in on Lamb?
Still very in. Yep. Yeah. I mean, you know, I buy dynasty wide receivers through the variants if I like the talent. So yeah, we're just looking at some variants here.
100%. I mean, target share has been through the roof. It's just, he hasn't really been seeing the high value touches, and he's had Cooper Rush at quarterback and, you know, Dak playing shitty week one. So I don't really blame him for the production either. 2 straight years of high end production is enough for me to be like, okay, this guy's good. And this is a fluke right now. So buy Lamb wherever you can. And last stance for me that I'm pivoting off of Albert O, and Albert O's playing. It's not even an issue with snaps. It's just, I think the team, there's something. Either it's Nathaniel Hackett, maybe it's Russ and how weird he is. I don't know, but this offense does not look as high powered as I expected it to be. So maybe it's a Denver Broncos take, but definitely Albert O, someone I touted as a potential breakout tight end. I mean, 2 targets this last week. He had 6 week 1, which was solid. And, you know, the snaps went down week 1 to week 2, but they're using like Austin Sauvert or whatever his name is, and then the fullback as a tight end. They're kind of mixing in these big guys, and it looks like Seattle's offense with the tight ends, with like Will Disley mixing in with Jimmy Graham, and then other tight ends too. And it's like every week can't really tell which tight end is gonna be the guy, and that's what it feels like in Denver, even though Albert O should be the guy. He's like arguably the most athletic player they have, one of the faster players they have. Like, he should be just running wind sprints and catching deep balls from Russ occasionally, but they can't really even fathom that. And maybe that changes down the line, but right now you can't really be rostering Albert O for like after this week. I'd say give him 1 more week, but even now, like, if you want to drop him, I wouldn't blame you. Similar to like the Cole Kmet thing, But like Alberto's gotten the targets. He's just not getting the usage in the right spots. I mean, how do you feel on Alberto, or how did you feel and how do you feel?
Yeah, so I'm going to need a few more weeks with this Russell Wilson, but through 2 weeks, it's looking like a disaster. I mean, he doesn't look comfortable at all. He's not running. I guess he hasn't been running for a few years now, but it does not look good at all. And the Judy injury, you know, I didn't realize it, but once you kind of get past Judy and realize KJ Hamler is probably not going to be 100% all year with that weird hip leg injury that he had last year, which, you know, reports have come out that that was a little more severe than what we thought. Tim Patrick's gone. They got Tyree Cleveland and Kendall Hilton running routes out there. And like you mentioned, it's Eric Saubert and Andrew Beck are the guys out there. So pretty rough stuff for Alberto. You'd think this would be like a perfect spot for him to emerge. I liked Alberto as well. So yeah, you know, I do think he's going to have a few weeks just because he's such an athletic specimen. He's going to get behind some defenses when they aren't paying attention to him. But as far as a start sit season long perspective, this is not great right now.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Absolutely. God, it's gross. And I have a lot of Alberto. I'm up to my neck in Alberto. Nice. And some of those leagues, like best balls, I can't drop them. I'm just stuck praying that this offense figures itself out. And it's 2 weeks. So a new quarterback, a new head coach. Maybe it's just, you know, they got to grease the wheels a little bit, get past the first month. But oh my God, in leagues where you set your lineups and all of that, I mean, if you can't afford to wait, if there's a hot waiver ad, if Gerald Everett's sitting there for some reason, go get him, obviously. Like, I'm not, most leagues probably have him rostered at this point, but you get the point. Evan Engram, I take Evan Engram over Alberto rest of the season, looking at what we have right now. I mean, is there any other tight end that I missed that might be interesting rest of the season? It's very much, I mean, obviously the position's miserable, but okay, David Njoku. How about
Yeah, I was going to say, let's pretend, let's do a bit where we haven't watched the game yet, and let's go with David Njoku. Oh, you know, I really think he was starting to get some targets and some eyes from Jacoby Brissett last week. I know it hasn't been great so far, but I think I'm going to be buying David Njoku after 2 weeks.
Yeah, he looks, yeah, definitely. Like, he looks good. The hands, my God, he was making some catches today. Like, just putting his hands out there, like, looked like he had stick them on him, but whatever it was working. How about, this one's interesting. One, everybody pretty much drafted, but Dawson Knox, similar-ish production through two games, but he's in the much better offense. Gabe Davis has been dealing with his ankle issues, which he's dealt with, actually, for the last 2 years as well. Would you rather have Dawson Knox rest of the season or Alberto?
Oh, Knox. Yeah. Okay. Knox. Just because of the offense, he's going to have weeks again. It was kind of like last year. He just had weeks where people are focused on, you know, the slots. They're focused on Diggs or Gabe Davis or the running backs. And all he has to do is turn around and catch the ball and he's all good. So there you go.
Yeah. I'm probably very high on, not very high on, but higher on Knox than Alberto going forward, even though both of them have been absolute busts. Okay, now we're switching it up, pivoting off the pivots to holding our ground. Who's the guy you're holding your ground on rest of the season? That rough start, but you believed in preseason and you don't really see too much of a reason to back off.
All right, so it's been annoying the first 2 weeks as a Travis Etienne fan. However, I'm going to give the permeable Travis Etienne truther stance that we have to go forward with right now. Number one, the touches for James Robinson are actually a bad signal. They have no investment in James Robinson, so they're just throwing him to the wolves, giving him 20 plus touches a game coming off an Achilles. So that's my spin zone there. They have the investment in ETN. He's coming off an injury too. So they're going to bring him along slower. He went from 6 to 12 touches last week. Looked good in the receiving game last week, caught all three of his targets, and he's on a good Jacksonville offense that's going to need him this week because James Robinson's going to get stuffed between the tackles against this Charger front. They're going to need some explosiveness outside, and they're going to go to ETN more this week because they're going to need him because this is a game, and they've been holding him off. They've been waiting for this big game against the Chargers to use him. Lastly, just a little touchdown luck for James Robinson. That's all. He's just been in the right place at the right time. Those could have very easily been Travis Etienne touchdowns. So there's my irrational spin zone for you that I'm going with, even though it's been pretty dreary through 2 weeks.
I'm with you. I wasn't really big on Etienne in the preseason just because his price and the list Frank that again, that, I'm not a big injury guy. I've mentioned this on many pods. Anybody who follows me on Twitter knows this. I don't like buying players a year after a significant injury. I will be in on Etienne next year, assuming he stays healthy this year, given that, you know, he should be 100% now. And I like how you mentioned the he's actually catching his passes, because that was the issue in week one where he just dropped a wide open tutty. Like just he was in like a yard before that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know. Okay, it's okay. Yeah, I know you've washed your brain of all of that. But if you look at it, in the totality of his touches, he's been very efficient. 5.2 yards per carry, 7.3 yards per target, second on the team actually to Christian Kirk. He's good. He's clearly athletic. He's clearly. I mean, that's obvious from just anything about his profile. But you know, he's performing somewhat. But the fantasy production isn't there because he's not really getting the touches and. I do expect James Robinson to fade. He's like, he looks good at times, but there's a lot of, you know, between the big plays, which, you know, there's credit to big plays. There is a little plotting going on. He's at 3.8 yards per carry, which not the be all end all, but only 4 targets. He's still not really back. He's had plays where he's flashed, but I wouldn't see him as a major deterrent for ETN, assuming ETN is like healthy and good to go. So I mean, I would absolutely be buying ETN right now if you get him for a penny, not pennies, but like 50 cents on the dollar, 75 cents even. I think it's a good buy because I would have been drafting him if he was going like fifth, sixth round, but he was going like high fourth round, almost third round, high stakes league second round.
I take some blame for that. That was me up there.
But I drafted him last year. So I knew I was like, I can't get hurt again on this. And I like, you know, there's no real shame in fading an injury like that. But nevertheless, I'm with you. I think ETN's going to be fine and the touches will come his way. The offense looks good. And I think that's the biggest thing you look for. Like Lawrence looks comfortable. The offense looks good. And running backs, I don't say they don't matter, but a lot of their play is predicated on how the offense around them functions. Even with the O-line not being too great, he runs outside. He runs like, you know, off tackle. He does all that stuff that's not really as... You know, he doesn't need to run between the tackles like a James Robinson. So O-line play isn't as effective on him. And, you know, hey, maybe if they're down big, they're just throwing it to him a ton. So it'll come. I think it'll come for sure. My guy that I'm not moving off of, that I don't think 2 weeks of the season should be enough to really pivot or sway anyone, it's Rashad Penny. Rashad Penny, I mean, he's healthy through 2 weeks. He played 69% of the snaps in week one. Last week, yes, Kenneth Walker was healthy. But they lost by 20 in a game. They scored 7 points and he still played 41% of the snaps. I mean, he only got 6 touches and no targets, but that's still, you know, if he were in that weird early career committee, he would have played way less. He would have played like 20% of the snaps, but 40%+ and going into a week against Atlanta and then Detroit the following week, I'm going to start him. I'm going to start Rashad Penny these next 2 weeks. I mean, unless he gets hurt, obviously, this week, and God forbid, and we know how the injury bug has affected him throughout the years, but he looks healthy. He looked really explosive in week one. He had a big play called back, and then, I think he was used at the goal line. There was a lot to like in week one, but I'm going to use an excuse, and I don't, you know, I love using excuses on Twitter, but not on the podcast, because you can clip it and use it against me, but Geno Smith looked weirdly good in week one. they didn't really need to run the ball that much. Like, he led the team with 12 rushes. Geno Smith was second. And then after that, it was Travis Homer with one rush. He got three targets that game. So, and that was a game they won. It was a game that was very close throughout. I think we can expect Geno Smith to play much more poorly going forward and them to rely on Rashad Penny in games they're not getting blown out. Now, Seattle Seahawks, I get it. You can say they're going to get blown out a lot, but their defense is okay. The O-line is solid, and they have Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf to like get defenses to create spacing with those two. And Geno Smith, as long as he's not the worst quarterback in the world, as long as he's just bad, I think they're going to need to rush it, and they're going to use Penny a ton. And there are going to be games that he's going to struggle, like this past game against San Francisco, which obvious bench. I mentioned that on Twitter. Do not start him against San Francisco in a game that they're going to get crushed. Like toughest front in football probably, but you know, these next 2 weeks I'm starting. Would you be comfortable starting Rashad Penny these next 2 weeks?
I would. I am an enormous Rashad Penny fan. I am invested in that backfield, but like you kind of talked about, they need a reasonable game script here. We can't be playing them against the San Francisco 49ers of the world. We can't be playing them against those elite fronts. We need some juicy matchups here to lock in some big weeks. I know you have a thing with Ken Walker versus Rashad Penny. I was kind of buying both this offseason and just kind of saying, hey, all right, I like Penny more. I think he's going to be the guy, but if he gets hurt, then maybe Ken Walker can take over here. They do want to run the ball. So I'm with you. I think last week was a bad matchup, and week one, he looked like 2021 stretch run Rashad Penny. So I'm still in. Nothing's changed for me there. It's just the fantasy results are really only going to come in a big way in good matchups.
Okay. Let's go through the schedule right now. Just you and me. Okay. Atlanta this week, we both agreed start.
I'm in.
Right?
Yep.
At Detroit.
I'm in.
Yep. I'm in. At New Orleans. That's a bench.
Yeah, that's a bench. We don't need to play. We don't need to play poor Rashad Penny that week. Yeah.
Nope. Home against Arizona. I would start him.
I'm in.
Yeah, at the Chargers, I'm out.
I'm out. See, it's so easy. It's so easy, yeah.
Home versus the New York Giants, I'm in.
I'm in.
At the Arizona Cardinals, if he performs well the first game, I'm starting him again.
There we go.
Home versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Actually, that's not home. I'm out again, but it's a neutral location. That could get weird. Honestly, that could get weird. That might be a weird game if it's London. That's a 6:30 a.m. slot. So if he's been performing up until week 10, you can start him. I'd say you could start him. That's a weird game. London games get weird. They just lost to Akeem Hicks for the season. That interior could be kind of bad, even with a bad game script. I mean, if you see Rashad Penny perform through these next 6-7 weeks, however many, I would start him versus Tampa Bay in London, honestly. And then he gets a bye. Okay, after that, home versus the Raiders, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in big time. Let's go. Kill the Raiders. Let's go.
At the Rams. Sorry, Ryan. You're good. At the Rams. I'm out.
I'm out.
Home versus the Carolina Panthers. I'm in.
I'm in.
Home versus the San Francisco 49ers. I'm out.
We're out. We don't need to do that to ourselves.
Okay. Yeah. This one's a little tough because Kansas City historically not that good versus the rush, but at Kansas City, I think I'm out.
I'll probably be out on that one. Probably out.
But then home versus the New York Jets in the fantasy football playoffs. In the final. So out of this schedule, the next like 14 games, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 for sure games we're in, assuming he stays healthy. And then 2 games that are contingent. So that's not too bad. If you get 9 out of the next 14 games, you could start him, assuming he stays healthy. I think that's more than worth your money if he gives you RB2 to maybe even RB1 production like he gave you in the stretch run last year. I'm still in on Penny. I don't think these first 2 weeks should sway you, and you should be starting him week one. Agreed?
Agreed.
And something I'd start every week, if possible, having you on my podcast, Russell. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure having you. Getting to talk to you for the first time ever. That's Russell Clay. At Russell J. Clay on Twitter. Make sure to go follow him. Fantasy football and NFL draft at Fantasy Guru site. Make sure to go check his work out there. He does some writing and whatnot. He's got a little TikTok going on. I don't know how popping you are on TikTok, but Russell Clay 17 over there. Russ, any final words for the listeners? Anything cool you got going on?
Yeah, my TikTok is just old football highlights. So if you like that stuff, head over there. And there's no Russ Clay dancing, doing the newest dance craze, Kev, just old highlights. So yeah, definitely check that out. But no, I really appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on. And it was a fun time. So let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely. I'll make sure to hit you up soon. I'll absolutely be in touch with you. And everybody, make sure to go to rotoballer.com for all of your fantasy football needs, whether that be football, baseball, basketball, hockey, golf, MMA, video games, doesn't matter. We got it over at rotoballer.com. Make sure to like and subscribe to The Operating Room on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcasts are available. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.